And remember that children's ministry will start up this next Sunday as well. Now, I was all prepared to begin a series tonight on the types, and I just felt a check in my heart about it tonight, and so everything's done, and I have a lot of information and potentially too much information for a Wednesday series. So I'm reevaluating that, although I have another series I'm starting on Sunday that's not the types. But I am going to get to the types at some point. I think types are very important figures in the Word of God. Your understanding of the Scriptures will explode when you begin to see types in the Scriptures. But tonight I'm going to talk to you about promises. So let's go to Psalm 43 tonight. Psalm 43, this will be the first verse that we address. And promises are in the Word. I mean, we have many, many, I don't know the exact number of promises, but there are a lot of promises in the Word of God. And simply, what does the Bible say? That the promises of God in Him are yes and amen, or so be it. When He gives a promise, it's His intention of bringing it to pass. Now, sometimes the will of God does not come to pass in people's lives. Do we realize that? I mean, when somebody ends up sick, that's not God's will. God's will is never that you end up being sick. Now, that's strange to some people. They say, well, everybody gets sick. No, not everybody gets sick. I was telling somebody the other day, the last time I had the flu was back in, I was a, what? I haven't had it since I moved to Oklahoma in 1981. And I'm asking you, you don't know, because it was before that. I think I was a junior in high school the last time I had the flu. Serious, you know. One day, I will take that back. Well, let me just qualify this. One day I felt symptoms coming on me when we were living at Foxfire, and they lasted about 10 or 15 minutes. I just grabbed my Bible and I rebuked it. And so I guess that doesn't really count, does it? I mean, the symptoms were trying to come on me, but I knew what to do. Praise God. It's not God's will that you get sick. It's not God's will that you be in pain and going through all the stuff that many times people go through. And I'll tell you this, I can say that unequivocally from the Word. Now, sometimes there are things that you and I have to do in the natural to make sure that we're doing all that we can. I had some severe wrist pain in my right wrist last year, and I've had a few tinges of it here and there, and the Lord told me, He said, you know, it's kind of funny when God says, you know. It's like, well, I should anyway, right? You know, right. He said, you know, you haven't been lifting weights at all on the exercises for the wrist. And I used to do those. I was working out a lot until I got a hernia. And that stopped my weightlifting there for a while. But anyway, so I'm back at it. And I've noticed a difference just in that. When you sit around too much, even though I'm active doing other things, there are times I'm sitting around and studying and praying and writing things, and it's like, you know, you need to do the other things too. And if you don't do the exercising like you should, it'll end up hurting you. You have to do the exercises right, or the exercises will hurt you too. Amen. So, but do what you need to do in the natural. And if the Lord tells you to do this, do it. Lord tells you to do whatever He says to do, do it. But take some quality time to get before Him to hear what He says to do. Amen. All right, Psalm 43, and we'll go there in just a moment. Here are some definitions of the word promise. First off, Webster says promise is an agreement to do or not to do something. Indication as of a successful future. Something promised to give a basis, get this, to give a basis for expecting or expectation. To give a basis for expecting or expectation. What is the basis that you expect God to provide all your needs? Well, he said in his word, the promise is, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, verse 19. It's a good thing if you know what the promise says, and you know that attached to every promise, there are some demands. Every promise of the word has a demand. There's a promise, but here's the thing. I mean, the promise in the word is that God wants to save everybody, and it's his promise that he will save you, but what do you have to do to be saved? Just be born of a certain heritage? Be a certain nationality? Go to the same church that grandma and grandpa went to and your parents went to and all that, and you're automatically saved because you're born into a Christian family? What's your faith? Well, I'm a Christian. Do you believe in Jesus? Well, no, but we're Christian people, you know. I'm not Buddhist, I'm not Muslim, I'm not a Shinto, I'm not this, I'm not that, I'm a Christian. No, you don't become a Christian just by saying, I'm a Christian. You became a Christian. How did you become born again? You accepted Jesus into your heart. You believed on him. You accepted him. And now you live according to the precepts that he taught and teaches in his word. Amen. But attached to every promise, there will be some things that you and I need to walk out. Here's a promise, and we can relate it back to the natural. Here's a promise. That if, I promise you, if you will cut your caloric intake and begin exercising more, you will begin to feel stronger and you will lose some weight. That's a promise. I mean, a lot of people are like, how am I ever going to, well, stop eating so much. You know, I mean, there's really, it's not that tough to cut back on how much you eat. One of the things about these diet plans that they do is the portions are not this big, they're this big, you know, little portions. And at first you're going, oh my goodness, you survive on that? What is that, a snack? I mean, no, that's your, I remember asking you that, is that like a precursor to the main course? No, that's the main course. And you know, when your stomach needs to shrink, it can't keep being stretched. Oh boy, I'll just preach to the ceiling. How's that? Then nobody thinks I'm looking at them or preaching to them because I'm not. But the fact is that if you need to, you know, you need to do things to strengthen your midsection and you need to back off on the calories and get some exercise and all those things combined, I promise you, some good things will happen. But if you sit around eating a bag of Doritos every night, drinking, you know, your Coca-Cola and whatever else, and just eating any old fattening thing, and you love your donuts, and you love this, and you love that, and you love that cake, and hey, those are all good things, you know. But don't expect to drop any weight if that's what you're doing, okay? In fact, you'll blow up like a balloon if you keep doing that, amen. Okay, so we had our little health talk. Praise God. The Greek word epangelia is an, here's what it means for promise, an undertaking to do or give something. A promise stands for the thing promised and so signifies a gift graciously bestowed, not a pledge secured by negotiation. Not a pledge secured by negotiation, but it's an undertaking to do or give something, a promise. It stands for the thing promised and so signifies a gift graciously bestowed, not a pledge secured by negotiation. Now, I know that's a lot, but the fact is God, these are non-negotiable, the promises of God. He makes a promise, he'll do it, he sets the rules, he's the boss. This is where some people get in and they say, well, I'm not into works. Well, guess what? Guess what? There are some works you need to be actively involved in doing every day of your life. I don't want to get into works. You know, I've heard people say that didn't want to work. I had a guy, I said, well, you're telling me you need a job. I'll get you a job. And so I had an opportunity where I'd found a job for this guy. And I don't do that anymore because I'm not going to put myself out there and say I recommend this person and then they don't show up. Then it makes me look like a clown, you know what I'm saying? But so I said, here it is. Well, he flat, oh, no, I can't do that. Everything I suggested, this man said, I can't do that. And the bottom line was he didn't want to work. I said, why don't you just admit you don't want to work? All right, I don't want to work. Okay, well, now we got that out. If you don't work, you shouldn't eat, is what the Bible says. That's a promise too. Amen. Let's go. Psalm 43. Look at verse number 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? What is your soul? What part of you is your soul? You remember? It's the mind, the will, and the emotions. Why are you downcast or cast down? Bowed down or disquieted in me. Hope in God. In other words, hope is, you know, in the New Testament in particular, means to expect God to do something. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Okay, so the problem is that you're feeling downcast. The problem is that you feel disquieted. Your mind is racing 90 to nothing. You've got things going on, issues that are confronting your thoughts. And the question is, why are you so much like that? If you will praise God, not for the problem, in the midst of the problem, begin to worship him, because praise does what? It stills the avenger. Remember that. So if I'm going to begin praising God in the midst of a problem, God will be magnified in my sight. And if God is magnified in my sight, other things become smaller. Have you ever done that? Have you ever gone right up to, like, say, a fence, a chain link fence? And, you know, you can take a camera, and if you can focus off in the distance, that chain link fence will disappear pretty much when you focus off in the distance, right? You're looking, I mean, you can put your finger right here, and if I'm looking at the finger, now my eyes cross. Whoa. I'm looking at my finger right here, okay? But now if I look beyond my finger and look at that cherub in the back that says usher on it, now this is still here, but my focus is out there. You ever hear that saying, you can't see the forest because of the trees, right? Well, sometimes people get so caught up in what's right before them, but when you keep your eyes on the Lord, you can see past the trouble and see the answer. And the promise is that if you will praise him, that disquietedness, that turmoil in your thoughts, in your soul, will go away. Can I hear an amen? That's what happens when you do that. But so much of the time, people spend all their time just sitting around thinking about all the problems and trying to figure everything out. I would suggest you work hard and do the things in the natural you need to do, but praise God for the answer and the deliverance. Amen? Begin to praise him. Praise will shut the mouth of the devil when he's coming against you, telling you that nothing good is ever going to happen in your life. Nothing good is ever going to come around for you. Things aren't going to change. They're going to stay the way they are. I was telling Ann, there was a guy that Brother Copeland was talking about who, you know, he needed a job and he wasn't getting hired anywhere. So he went to this company and he volunteered his services. And he would just go to that job every day like clockwork. This has been years ago. I don't know that they would let you do that today with all the insurance problems and the, you know, you're not covered and this and that. I guess if you signed a waiver, you know, say if anything happened, I won't sue you, whatever. But this was years ago. And this guy, he went and he kept going. And he almost a year went to work every day of the week, wasn't being paid a penny, volunteered to do this job. And he became the best person in that company at that job. And so they started to give him more responsibility. And eventually they hired him and began paying him. And the guy was elevated in the company and moved all the way up. I don't know if he ended up owning the business, but very, very close to it. And it started that way by just, and why did he do it? Because he spent some time before God in praise, and the Lord told him to go do that. And God supplied his needs along the way. I don't know exactly how all that fell into place, but it did. I'll tell you what, sometimes the world has an idea of the way you need to go after things, and the Lord will tell you something, and it sounds crazy, but if you'll obey and do what he tells you to do, it'll work. But you don't get that by just sitting around, let me think now. You know, that guy volunteered. I think I'll just start volunteering. Well, if God didn't tell you to do that, you could starve. Right? But see, praising God in the midst of something, not for it. I don't praise God for trouble. I praise God in the midst of trouble. He's my answer, my deliverer, my comforter. Even though there's trouble around me, I'm going to praise him for who he is and the promises he's made to me to stop this stuff when I turn my attention to him. Amen? I don't care how bad things can get in a person's life. If they will focus and put their trust in God, God will get them through the problems. Amen. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. And this is something that we touched on last week about forgiveness. But again, there is conditions. There are conditions outlined in the word regarding different promises that are ours. Now in Matthew chapter 6, look at verse 15. This is the one that we were talking about last week. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Well, that's conditional, isn't it? Is that a promise? Oh, you can take it to the bank. Yeah, that's the way it is. If you don't forgive, neither will your Father forgive. So what do you need to do? You need to forgive. You need to be forgiving. You need to act godly and walk in love and do that. And that promise is secure for you when you do that. The scripture says you're forgiven. Amen. Now, I'm talking about everyday things that go on. And in particular, where this can be overlooked is in a marriage. Or in a friendship with a person that you're close to and you get comfortable being around. And things can be said, and if you're not cautious about staying on your toes with it. Now, I don't recommend that you walk around with this sin consciousness like I may have sinned, you know, and start thinking along those lines, kind of like what Job did. Job ended up making those sacrifices every day because his children may have sinned. Well, I would suggest that you not do that. I would suggest that you just stay on your toes and remember to walk in love. And don't let the little foxes spoil the vine. The book of Ecclesiastes talks about the little foxes are the ones that spoil the vine. How do they do that? They kill it from the bottom up. What they can reach, they eat. I was sitting at the table the other day. It was about noon, maybe 1:30, I think I'd come home and got lunch. We were sitting. And I look out and I said, is that a cat? What is that? And he came running across the court toward our house. It was one of our foxes in the middle of the day. Came up, looked at me. I said, hey, Mr. Fox. And he went up to the bird seat, put his head down, looked around, was looking on the ground for some food, looked at me again, took off. I thought that was interesting. Foxes. And I was reminded of the scriptures. It's the little foxes that'll come in and spoil things. Don't let the little things in your life, the little unforgivenesses that occur. You know, you go somewhere and the clerk at the Quick Trip was a little bit short and kind of, and who do they think they are? Don't let that happen. It's those little things. Those little things add up and become big things. Amen? Okay, there's a promise that you're forgiven when you forgive, but there's a stipulation placed upon that too as well. All right, the next one, Matthew chapter 19. Just swing over there quickly. You're right in Matthew. Go to Matthew 19. These are some things that are have conditions attached to them. And verse number 21. If thou wilt be perfect, Jesus said to this young man that was well off, the rich young ruler, you know him as. Verse 21, Matthew 19, verse 21. If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven and come and follow me. So he'll have treasure in heaven if he does what? He's got to sell. In other words, don't be attached to everything. Don't love the things that you have more than you love God. And if it's something that is gaining too high of a level of importance in your life, sell it. It's very quiet in here right now. Sell it. If it's something that you suddenly feel like in the natural you can't live without, I've got news for you. You're going to live forever without that. What is it that's so important? I'll tell you what's really neat to do is give something away that means something to you. I had a guy give me a thing for the church one time. It was nothing but a piece of garbage. I should have just said, forget it, I won't take it. And I thought he was sincere and genuine, and the bottom line was he was just cheap. And he didn't want to give a good gift. It was something that he had used up and didn't. I'm not talking about anybody that's in the church this day. In fact, this man was never in Solid Rock Church. Okay? We all good there? So just go, whew, he's not talking about me, because I'm not talking about you. This person was quite well healed, as they say, and he gave a gift that should have been thrown out on the curb. And me, like a dummy, young in the ministry, I didn't want to offend him. And I'm looking at that thinking, my gosh, really? You know the old adage, give the junk to the church. You know, that same mentality. You know, Lord, you keep them humble, we'll keep them poor, the pastor, you know, that old thing. Man, that's such a wrong way to approach life. And the things of the kingdom. And praise God, we don't have that here. I'm well taken care of. But the fact is, you know, when you give your best. Remember a time I gave my car away, I went out and put a couple new tires on it because the Lord told me to give the car away, so I put some new tires on it. You want to give something that's just ready to blow? You know, those May Pops, have you ever seen them, you know? It had a couple of May Pops on it, and what are May Pops, Pastor? They may pop when you go down the road is what that means, okay? You know what they are. Jim knows. Jim's hip to all those, yeah. Anyway, praise God. But give your best. Don't give the junk. You know, you have a choice to give this or give that, and you could give this better item, and you turn and give the junkier item, shame on you. You need to give something that's of value. Otherwise, your heart is attached to that thing of value. Oh, it's not so attached to that junky thing. What's the big deal if you give a piece of junk to somebody? Right? Come on. Amen? Well, it's right anyway. So go and sell what you have, give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Now, there's the promise you'll have treasure in heaven. For where your heart is, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also, Jesus said in another place. Right? Sure, it's in Matthew, I believe, chapter 6. But anyway, let's go on to Colossians 3, just hitting on a couple of these promises and their attached conditions. Somebody say, well, you know, God just gave all. Yes, he gave promises, but you're not going to receive them and walk in them unless you do what he's telling you you need to be doing. Well, Pastor Dan, I'm believing God for a great harvest. Well, so you're sowing seeds. What? No, harvests don't come to people that don't plant seeds. Amen. Well, I'm believing God, you know, for my ship to come in. Did you send one out? Ooh, it's just as bad for a person to say, I'm believing God for a wife, and I want. And I said this to a young man one time. I said, "So you're believing God for a wife? Yeah, I want to be married." I said, "Well, that's an honorable thing. It's okay." And praise God for that, you know. And I said, well, describe what you believe, or what you're believing for. Like, you know, and he started in with this description, and I'm like, well, nothing like hitching your wagon to the stars, pal, but, you know, have you looked in the mirror? You know what I'm saying. Anyway, and hey, what would somebody who really loves God, you want somebody that loves and worships God and has an hourglass figure, and you're at best lukewarm about the things of God. At best, you know, you run a 30 feet to the donut shop. At best, okay? Don't think. All right, there's some stipulations, some things you need to do in the natural, and don't put all your stock in the looks of a person either, by the way. Colossians 3, look at verse 24. We're going to close right here. So if you're going to be somebody who serves the Lord and serves him, there's a promise. Look at verse 24. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. And what does the last part of the verse say? For you serve the Lord Christ. When you're serving the Lord, you're going to have covenant inheritance and rights of inheritance granted unto you when you serve the Lord. So if you truly are putting first his will in your life, I was just listening to somebody talking about that yesterday, about, you know, when the will of God, God's word and his will for your life is more important to you than anything else, then you know that you're actually hearing from God. And I'm like, yeah, that's right. Because if there's always another option to do something else that you consider instead of obeying God and obeying his word, you're really not where you need to be yet. Amen? That's pretty safe to say. But if I'm serving the Lord, I have, look at it again, knowing that of the Lord you'll receive the reward of the inheritance. My goodness sakes, who wants the reward of the inheritance? I do. I want the reward of the inheritance, and that will come if I'm serving the Lord. You say, well, I'm trying. It didn't say if you're trying to serve the Lord. It said if you're serving the Lord. Are you serving the Lord? Please stand to your feet. You're serving the Lord. Well, then you have an inheritance that is yours. And it's sealed by the blood of Jesus. But what do you have to do? You need to continue to serve the Lord. Don't be self-serving. Don't, always consider your own interests ahead of what God has already told you to do. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let's bow our heads and go before the Lord tonight. Father, thank you. We praise you. We give you glory for the promises that are ours. And Lord God, we expect, based on the word, those promises that you have made to us, those promises that, in fact, they do come to pass in us as we are being doers of the word and not just hearers. We're actively involved in doing the word, actively involved in walking it out in our lives. And so I thank you and praise you. I give you glory. Father, we'll obey you and do what you say in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Can you agree with that? If you can, say amen.